I am here at the William H. Darr School of Agriculture on the campus of Missouri State University, and Michael Skuse, the Undersecretary of Farm and Foreign Ag Services, is here. Tell me a little bit about the umbrella that your title kind of covers.
Well, I cover three agencies: the Farm Service Agency, which most of our producers are very familiar with. It delivers all of our farm programs and all of our disaster programs. The Risk Management Agency is under me. That's the agency that delivers all of our crop insurance. And then I have the Foreign Agricultural Service. That's the agency that delivers our foreign aid in certain areas and does the trade for the Department of Agriculture. So, pretty important, and I say that if it's production agriculture, it's under me.
Well, moving on the trade issue, what kind is the process to get Congress to kind of strike an approval when we're talking about TPA and some other trade agreements?
Well, you know, the discussions are going on right now, and hopefully in the very near future we're going to be able to have the votes that we needed to give President Obama trade promotion authority. Every president since FDR has had trade promotion authority. We think it's important that the president receive trade promotion authority. It gives our negotiators that are working on these deals a little bit of additional leverage, because the countries know that once there's a commitment made, that then Congress is going to vote it up or down without amendments. I think that makes many of these countries that we're dealing with feel a bit more comfortable in the negotiation process. So we're hoping that in the very near future the president can get Congress to grant him the trade promotion authority that he needs and deserves.
Well, as we continue on the trade topic, when we talk about TPP and TTIP, what is in that for the farmers and ranchers across the country?
Oh, a whole lot. A whole lot. If you look at the trade agreements that we've done in the past and what they have done for American agriculture, it's pretty impressive. If you go and look at NAFTA, which is now 20 years old, Canada's now our number two trading partner. Mexico's our number three trading partner, and we're receiving a lot of products from them as well. Very, very successful in almost all areas. If you look at the go look at the CAFTA-DR treaty that was done, I believe, in 2005. If you look at the increase in agricultural products that are now going to Central America and the Dominican Republic, tremendous growth in all of those areas. Poultry is an example. We were only exporting about $60 million worth of poultry to those products. Today, that number is close to $200 million. And you can see $100 million increases in almost all the commodities. And when you look at TPP and you look at the growth in the economies of those countries that are involved in TPP and the potential growth for the agricultural sales to those countries, it's tremendous. If we can get TPP done in the near future, it's going to have an immediate impact on American agriculture.
Well, you talked about NAFTA and its lifespan. Looking through those 20 years, what are some of those things that it really accomplished?
I think this has been an area where it has helped all of our producers for all three countries. There was a great deal of concern that it would have a negative impact on producers in the United States. There was a great deal of concern from Mexico that it was going to have a negative impact on certain segments of agriculture in Mexico. For the most part, none of those were realized. We've seen growth in pretty much all of these areas, and it's helped producers' incomes in all three countries. So. And that's pretty much what all of these trade agreements do. I want to make the point that it is important for us to continue working on trade agreements and finalizing these agreements, because our competitors are working on trade agreements with many of these same countries. And if their trade agreements are done first, it puts our producers in this country at a major disadvantage, because they're going to get their products in tariff-free or a greatly reduced tariff. So we need to get these trade agreements done as quickly as possible so that our farmers and ranchers are not at a disadvantage.
How is COOL impacted by trade?
Right now, we have the appeal for Cool. I'm not going to comment on Cool because of the appeals process, other to say that hopefully we will win the appeal, and we think that our consumers deserve to know where their products come from. Most other countries have labeling so that their consumers can identify where their products come from. We think that ultimately this not only helps our consumers, but will help our producers here as well as our producers in Canada and Mexico.
Well, is there anything else that we haven't hit on that is some of the important issues that you're dealing with in Washington?
The implementation of the Farm Bill. We're trying to get our producers to the Farm Service Agency offices as quickly as possible. Sign-up time is running out for the ARC and PLC program to upgrade or update your bases and yields. The conclusion to that will come the 27th of this month. Actual sign-up for ARC and PLC, March 31st is the deadline there. So we're trying to get as many producers in as possible. We're looking at some trade implications because of high path avian influenza that's been found in some flocks on the West Coast, as well as a slowdown at their port facilities on the West Coast now that's having a negative impact on our imports as well as our exports. So those are some of the hot issues that are impacting agriculture today.
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes to update our listeners on the farm policy affecting farmers and ranchers all across the country. Talking with Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Ag Services, Michael Hughes, here at the William H. Darr School of Agriculture on the campus of Missouri State University. I'm Jamie Johansson.